Is that too loud for you, Miriam?
No, that's all right.
God. Feeling that. Yeah, people. Guess who's back? Let's just play for a minute. You know the video?
I don't know if I remember the video.
Really? You don't remember the video?
No, I remember the song very well, though.
The video with LeVar Burton? Come
this.
On, man. How can you not know this video?
I can't think of it. It's not, like, coming to me.
My man had the red codpiece.
Oh, my God.
Gotta get a red codpiece to make it happen, people. That's right. This is your boy, Malcolm Riddle. Miriam Tazi, welcome to the show. Knocked my water over, people.
Oh,
but
that's what that was.
Luckily, I had the top on it.
Good.
That's right, man. You gotta get the red codpiece to make it happen.
Oof.
Cameo. That's right. We got the mics fired up, people. And here we go again. Another episode of American Riddle. Your boy is back in rare fashion. So yeah, just coming off. Your hair is feathered today, Miriam Tazi. You're looking good. Like Farrah Fawcett up in this camp. What's going on?
I don't know what's going
good
on.
It's God, people.
Oh, naturel, actually.
You got the Moroccan Farrah Fawcett up in here. Farrah.
Farrah.
Yes, right.
That's
word
funny.
Up, people.
Yeah.
Word up. Yeah, just I was on a little bit of a hiatus because of an illness. Man, this year has been rocky for your boy.
Oh.
It's been the real deal. Oh. Yeah. Feel me? Ooh. Got it. I might have been sick, but I'm back. Huh. Yeah. Doesn't this song make you happy? No?
Yeah, this song always makes me happy. It's funny. It makes me laugh. Too.
Jazz hands. Gotta do the jazz hands.
You're
all right.
A fan.
Enough okay. of that stuff, people, before I get fined. Mm. Yeah, back, recovering. Some of you guys may or may not know. Most of you don't. I had a fight. Let me tell you, it was a fight with kidney stones. It was the real deal. Don't look at me like, look at her. She wants to give the sad face. I was out for the count. Pretty much everything that anyone's ever said, anything that you've ever read about kidney stones is for real, let me tell you. It's the real deal. And I'm not even going to linger on it. Even my mother weighed in on it. Are you going to podcast about it? Hell no. I don't even want to remember this shit. I mean, it took its toll on me, no doubt. But I'm slowly making a recovery. Still, you know, still walking slow, talking slow. You know, moving slow, but I guess it takes a little while, you know, for everything to
go back to normal.
Kidneys, important.
Yes, it is.
Important.
Yeah.
You gotta hydrate and eat lots of apples. I'm finding out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I even went back to work, missed some time at work, and just moving slow. Told them not to give me any special treatment. You know, everybody gives you the sad face and stuff. I'm just like, look, you know what I mean? My balls are on fire, but, you know, don't give me no special treatment. You know,
it's compassion,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. And I work with a bunch of women, so you know, I got to let them know my balls, they're busted. You know, but you know, no special treatment for the boy. But yeah, it is what it is. What are you gonna do? You know, you gotta keep on moving forward. You know, as much as you can. I mean, I couldn't do shit.
I was gonna say you weren't moving much.
I couldn't
probably.
Do anything but curl up sometimes. Yeah, it's a horrible, horrible, horrible experience.
Oh.
Horrible.
Okay.
Very horrible. But, like I said, the show must go on. We're going to have on the horn later, Will Blagrove. That's
nice.
Right. Will's going to be calling in straight out of Hollywood. That's
ooh,
right. That's
fancy.
Hollywood, California, baby. That ain't Hollywood, Arizona or Hollywood, Texas. You know, there's always different places, Hollywoods.
This is a real Hollywood.
Yeah, this is the real
original.
Deal. Mm-hmm. Yep, he's holding it down. Cool, brother. He was on the show before. For some of you guys tuning in, maybe your first time tuning in, maybe your second, but I appreciate you tuning in. Will was on the show before, and he was talking about some of his upcoming features, and he was just featured in the blockbuster Divergent that just came out, and he'll talk about that and some of his other projects that he has. So we look forward to that conversation coming up later in the program.
Yeah,
I like that. Yep, Mariam Tazi was making some comments before we fired up the program too about my clean-shaven look. I think I went maybe a week and a half plus without shave. It takes me a long time to grow facial hair, people. I'm Native American, and it takes us a little longer to grow, but I was a little rugged. I had my Indiana Jones look. At least I thought it was Indiana Jones.
In your mind.
It's more like Fred Jones. But I decided to shave this morning, you know what I mean?
You look really soft.
Yeah, smooth.
Smooth.
Yeah, I looked at a picture of Frank Sinatra this morning, and I was like, I have a picture on my wall, and it's of Frank Sinatra, and I looked up, and I said, you know what, man? Frank Sinatra didn't have a beard, so I don't need to have a beard. That's right.
Frank Sinatra doesn't have a beard, right. So you don't have to have
a beard. Frank doesn't have a beard, I don't have a beard, and that's how I'm rolling out today.
Okay.
What? What? That's my logic. You can laugh at me if you want. Huh? You know, too much in your ears, Mariam Tazi. She can't handle a lot of
loud
noises. She's a very sensitive African. You know what I mean? With feathered hair. What's that all about?
Yeah, actually, my dad liked it quiet. He grew up in a very loud house, so in our house, it had to be quiet.
Not a lot of shouting. You ain't never been around the Riddles then, because...
Because he'd yell my name, and I'd respond yelling back, and he wouldn't, and I would be like, oh, I have to go to him. He's like, yeah, I don't yell. You have to come to me when I yell, when I call your name. I'm like, okay. Out of respect, you know?
That's right. Out of respect for the pops. Gotta respect them. You know what I mean? But no, not our household. There was a whole lot of yelling. For sure. What else was going on? Speaking of my household and growing up, I was showing you a picture earlier about some of the cats posting their little throwback pictures. We talked on the show not too long ago about ninjas. And I grew up, you know, in Flint, Michigan, representing. And in the hood, there was street ninjas. And a lot of these ninjas that I've been telling Mariam Tazi about, they had dual identities, okay? You know, they actually could have been three or four identities, man.
But that's just ninjas.
They were ninjas, yep.
You're always like, you're incognito, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
They can assume they're almost like shapeshifters.
Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly.
But they would, the other shape they would shift into were legionnaires of Prince. All of them were followers of Prince. So I don't know if it was by day or by night. I think by day they were dressed up like Prince. All of them. Mariam didn't believe me. So I had to take her deep into the archives and show her pictures. And it's a whole slew of them, man. These guys were straight out of the hood. As tough as you could find somebody in the hood. Usually you think of someone from the hood wearing hoodies. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Not cracking a smile. Hardcore. Nah. These brothers, man, they had the do. You know what I mean? They had the hair. They had the outfits, the kerchief. They had everything. And it was just in honor of their king. I guess you can call him a king, or their prince. Prince.
Ew.
This is no joke, people. And they knew Kung Fu to back it up. So you better not make any fun. No fun with it.
Incredible.
It's insane. It was insanity. I'm telling you. If I could take you back in. Basically, I do. What I do, people, is I take Mariam Tazi back in time, and I tell her, I'm like, you can't make this, you can't make it up.
No, obviously not. And then you bring proof, you know?
It's true. I can back it up, and I show you pictures, and all of them have the same, and they look, and they like have that same Prince glare, that intense look. You know how he looks into the camera?
It's been practiced in the mirror, obviously.
My brother, man. He would do this stuff religiously, man, and it's no joke. They took it to the extreme where, back in the day, you know, we didn't have, you know, there was no smartphones. We had, you know, if you were like a real player, you know what I mean, pimping, you know what I mean, you had a beeper. So if you had a beeper back in the day, some brothers had two beepers. That means you was really in charge. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that you had a beeper. And on those beepers, you could leave a message, right? And I told you this story. Mm-hmm. And within that message, you could record, you know, hey, what up? This is Malcolm. Leave a message and I'll hit you back later or whatever. You know, you try to be as cool as you can. The Legionnaires would take it up one step higher. And their messages would go like this. Yeah. This is Malcolm, and after the tone, leave a message. And I promise to get back to you. This is no joke. These guys would leave messages. They would add music to their messages.
Yeah, I remember those days.
To Prince! I can't make this stuff up. I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to put on my phone some point tonight, and I'm going to put this music to the background, so when people call me now, usually I have an automated service.
Yeah.
You know, it just says, please leave a message.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or whatever. I don't know what it, I don't even know what it says. But I think I'm going to do this. Yeah. What do you think that sounds like? Yeah. What's happening? You've reached Malcolm's cell phone. And I'm just here to serve you. I might have to... She's cracking up, people.
Here to serve you?
I'm just here to... Maybe serve you isn't the right word.
Like service you? Really?
Like I'm fixing him a burger or something. Wait. You know, maybe I could... Uh-oh. What am I supposed to do here? What do you think?
No.
All right, let's take it.
Let's
take it from the top then and see.
Creepy.
Would it be creepy?
Yes.
Huh? I'm gonna try it out for a month.
I don't know who's gonna leave you a message. They're gonna be like, what is going on?
You've reached Malcolm. And I'm a little tied up right now. If you could... If you could leave a message... I don't even know, you know? I can't even take it serious. And you gotta have that, like... You know, you gotta have the...
smooth, yeah, deep voice.
If you could leave a message... I promise...
Pretty breathy.
I'm not a creeper. I just really like, Prince, and I like ninjas, and if you make fun of me, I'll roundhouse your motherfucking ass, alright? So you leave that message, and I promise to get back to you. Should I do it?
Do it.
What do you think? So you can't make this stuff up, people. I'm not kidding. I got to get some of the Legionnaires on the phone because I will see if I can dig into the archives and post some of the pictures. But these guys do exist. They are amongst us. Okay, they've gone a little under the cover over the past couple decades. But when these brothers was right, they had jerry curls and perms, and they had all sorts of stuff going on. Flowers. You know what I mean? Man, they would put a flower in their mouth and take a picture. I'm telling you, man. It was the weirdest thing growing up because I knew I was in the wrong time and space and era. I was like, how is this even possible? You know, but it gave me a new appreciation for the arts and all that good stuff.
For
so
sure.
let's take a quick break, because we should be getting a call in from Will Blagrove, and he'll be joining us next. So we'll be right back.
Thanks to you, the Adam Carolla Show has been going strong for 5 years and continues to grow because you share it with your friends, family, and coworkers. But now, the patent troll is suing me and threatening to shut down podcasting as we know it. Please visit fundanything.com patreon.com/patenttroll and donate to the podcast Legal Defense Fund today. Your donation will help defeat the patent troll and keep podcasting free. Thank you and mahalo.
All right, and we're back. So back on air now, and we're joined, Mariam Tazi, straight from Hollywood. Hollywood. Will, you're from Hollywood, right? You're living in Hollywood now, right?
Yep, born in Queens, live in Hollywood now.
That's right, my man, Will Blagrove, straight out of Hollywood. That's right, representing Queens. Queens in the house.
Yeah. Nice.
Queens in the house, cute borough.
That's right. So last time we had Will on the show, you had some projects you were working on, and I think, I don't know when that was, maybe six plus months ago. I know that some of the listeners and some of you tuning in right now, I met Will at the Washington West Film Festival. You did a short, you were featured in a short film there. I think it was called, The Good River? Was
it? You got it.
Yeah, I remember.
Good River, yeah.
And since then, I think that you've blown up quite a bit because I've seen your face all over. Anything from commercials to the blockbuster Divergent, which just came out recently, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've been up to since we last spoke?
Sure. Well, first of all, yeah, I'm really excited about Divergent. It's currently in theaters, and we opened about 2 weeks ago at number one in the box office. So that was really exciting. Divergent is sort of a futuristic movie where the world is divided into five factions, and the movie stars Kate Winslet, Shailene Woodley from The Descendants, Theo James from various TV shows and movies, and I believe he was also on Abington. What is the name of that show on PBS? Downton Abbey. There it goes. So, yeah, it's a great cast, that's in theaters right now. It's called Divergent.
That's right. Ashley Judd was in it, too, and Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz. Yeah, Zoe Kravitz. She was a lot of fun to work with on set.
So, working on, what's it like working on a, like, you've done short films. What was it like working on a film with a much larger scale and budget?
I would definitely say there are a ton of perks, and you're treated like royalty for however long you're there. It's kind of like a dream, man. It's not even real. you wake up one day, and you're in your home, and the next day you're on this set. And in Divergent, it's based on this sort of a fictional world, and it almost feels like that literally being on a major motion picture set, right? It doesn't seem real. You know, every second you're being courted with, would you like something to eat? Or, oh, I need to go two blocks down. Oh, well, we have a driver to take you two blocks. oh, and have you checked into your trailer yet? Yeah, because you have a trailer. What kind of water would you like in your trailer?
Yeah, so you could... So you're saying that you could give them a list of things that you want?
Oh, my God. I mean, they won't always accommodate everything, but, granted, based on your level of Hollywood celebrity, yeah, you can give a list and get what you want.
Yeah, that's got to be awesome. I mean...
It's kind of awesome.
He's like, yeah, pretty much.
Especially if, when you go from, working independent films and short films, and then, when you start getting those breaks, it's got to feel pretty good.
Oh, man, it feels all worth it. Like, you just named the reason where we met, where, the film The Good River was a short, independent film. And that was really kind of the opposite of experience, so it's definitely rewarding when you go through the amount of work, because the amount of work I did in The Good River was much greater than what I did in Divergent. So now, I don't even think I got paid to do The Good River, but meanwhile I get paid to do Divergent. It's such a backwards business in that sense, but it makes it all worth it when you go through the struggles of doing jobs, like in any world, in any field, where you might be an intern getting paid nothing, then one day you're, you know, at the top and you're, you know, at an executive level getting paid, you know, good money.
Yeah, well, it all leads somewhere, you know. That's the thing that I think a lot of people miss. You know, if they think they're going to get a fat paycheck right off the jump, sometimes you have to put yourself out there and actually go out there and do for free and do some networking, you know, and you know, put it on the line and see what happens. Because chances are it's going to lead someplace, or someone's going to see something that you've done. And they'll recognize that, and at some point in time, you know, you'll be outfitted with the trailer and be on the red carpet and rubbing elbows with the likes of a Kate Winslet.
Exactly. I mean, the other day I was watching TV, and Drake was talking about how he got his start, and he said he would make mixtapes and give them away. He would give songs away for free. And he was most likely working on those songs just as hard as he is now, where he's getting paid millions. So, like, it's the same thing across the board. Like, if you're willing to put the work and the time in and not look for something in return, but just really do something you love, a lot of times, you know, you could end up like my situation where, you know, you're in a movie and, yeah, it's number one. That's yeah. Still great.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact is that you're. I know that you know. I follow you on Twitter and on Facebook. You know, on social media outlets, and you know, you're not only do I see the stuff that you're putting out there yourself, but you know, I could just be in the gym working out, and then all of a sudden I see, you know, the KFC commercial, or I might see Sprint or something like that. You know, you're constantly. You seem to be constantly working.
Yeah, I try to keep grinding, man. You know, with every gig I do, whether big, small, medium, large, whatever, I treat it all like, all right, this is just today. You know, wake up tomorrow, keep grinding.
Are you, speaking of Sprint, are you the new face of Sprint?
You know, it's funny, right now, if you go in pretty much any store in America, you'll see my face when you first walk in the store.
That's so weird.
It's kind of crazy. I actually just put a photo on Instagram because everybody was telling me every single day, like, yo, I'm in Harlem and I see your face. I'm in Michigan and I see your face. I'm in Daytona, Florida, and I see your face.
That's cool.
And I was like, wow, this is like, I need to put this out there and do something with it, you know?
Yeah, we should. I tell you what, any store that I go by, I see your face, I'm gonna take a picture of it and post the location. You know what I mean? Where in the world is Will?
Where in the world is Playground?
That's right. Yeah, no.
Yeah, man, it's crazy, like, the different types of fan support because, like, you know, I did this video game for the new NBA 2K14, and the kids who play this video game, you know, I played Jackson Ellis in a video game in the My Career mode, so you can go head-to-head with this character named Jackson Ellis, and you guys, you know, from the draft to the NBA, you're playing against each other all day long. And the kids, man, that play this game, they are so attached to Jackson Ellis that when they see me in a commercial, yeah, a movie, it's not Will Blagrove in, yeah, a Sprint commercial. Yeah. It's, yo, Jackson Ellis is in a Sprint commercial. So I just saw, and then another kid will be like, I just saw Jackson Ellis in Don Legend. It's so crazy, man. So I'm a voyeur, man, just watching, like, how people connect to the characters you play, you know?
Jackson Ellis, man. He sounds like, man, he sounds like an action star from the 80s.
I thought you should be playing theme music.
That's right. Jackson Ellis.
So now, and Jackson Ellis has a Twitter page. It's called, I think his name is Jackson, at JacksonEllis99. And, yo, they have all of these, you know, I don't tweet Jackson Ellis, the NBA 2K does it, but you have tweets like, don't be jealous and it'll be like Jay Ellis.
That's
and,
what's
like,
up.
It's crazy, man. Like, cause they talk a lot of trash, man. I mean, the character has over 5,000 Twitter followers.
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's
the character. My character is more of a celebrity than me.
Yeah. Well, he's Jackson Ellis.
This is Jackson Ellis, not Will Lero. No, right. Not the same face, not the body, not the face, not the sound. No, it's a different person.
You should get that. You should get that on a card, man. Will Blagrove, AKA.
AKA. And you know, I love it though, man, because I'm like, it feels like another role. You know, you hear about actors all the time where they do a role and they don't want to get typecast. I'm like, typecast me, you know. Go ahead. You like Jackson that much? Sure. Call me Jackson. Because all that does is help me get to a level of, like, what's the word? Notoriety or something,
yeah.
You know?
Well, it's funny you said that because, you know, what you're – it reminds me of the time when it was kind of looked or frowned upon in Hollywood to do cartoon movies or animation. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, people would kind of – a lot of the actors would shy away from it until – they started hitting that 100 mil mark,
yeah.
And stuff like that. And then you had, of course, Shrek and Toy Story. And with I mean, just global success. Now everyone, everyone and their mother is trying to get voiceover work on stuff like that. And when you look at the release of the video game industry, when they release something like a Need for Speed or NBA, I mean, it's colossal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the numbers are staggering. So, I mean, why wouldn't you take a job doing that?
Yeah. It's amazing, man. Video games definitely have gotten to a crazy level. It's really controversial, though, you know, amongst the actors and the unions because, you know, actors don't make any residuals from video games. And these video games are pulling in billions of dollars, you know, and it's kind of unfair in the sense where, like, you know, the video game developers, or at least the union, feels like they're not sharing the pie, you know? I mean, the work you put in is equivalent to what you would do in a movie, and if the movie makes $1 billion, you know, you get a piece of that. So that's the only part about video games that hopefully they'll come to sort of some agreement that's fair,
yeah.
You know?
I think that will evolve in time just for the fact of that Jackson Ellis has 5,000 followers on Twitter. And
right?
The fact is that if you are the face of Jackson Ellis, that has to have some worth. Mm-hmm. And if you're out representing that, then there's money to be made during that, in that. Yeah, I think it's just so early in the game right now that, yeah.
I guess so. I guess so.
But how does that work anyway? I think we talked about it last time on the podcast with voiceover work. Do you audition for something like that? Or do you let your agent know, like, hey, I'm open to do, you know, another game? Or, are you looking for other video games to get into?
Well, it definitely started with my agent, and, you know, in my case, I had a little bit of a different experience with this one because I had a background in video games. I actually, when I lived in New York, I used to voice characters for Grand Theft Auto. So when NBA 2K came up with this character that they wanted to make for the new game, my agent kind of, like, talked to them and had a meeting about me, and they were like, you know, you really need to check out Will Blagrove. I think he's kind of perfect for this role. And so I had to have a meeting with the director, and that was the first time I've ever done something like that, where, you know, you hear about, like, actors who, you know, they don't have an audition per se, but they'll meet the director, and they'll figure out from that lunch if, like, you guys should work together. You know?
They gotta like
it. Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes down to it.
The way I look at it always is like, you know, this guy wants to know if he can hang with me for 16 hours a day. And
yeah.
We can grab a beer afterward.
Yeah. Pretty much.
You know? But I'm not gonna be like crazy.
But that's life. And that's one of the things I talk about on this podcast a lot. It's just relationships and how important it is. to cultivate and build those relationships and respect those relationships, because at the end of the day, yeah, you're stuck with someone for, you know, 15, 20 hours sometimes more, as you know, and you have to have some chemistry with those individuals.
Oh yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, that was kind of my experience. I mean, they definitely heard some tracks I laid down for them voice-wise, but this was not your typical video game work for an actor. This was like motion capture work. So, I had on the full suit, kind of like, it was like doing Avatar.
Yeah.
You know, I went up to the headquarters for NBA 2K is up in San Francisco, and they flew me up there. And then we put on the whole, the body suit, which is tighter than the just want to see that. And,
yeah.
But now the canvas is strapped to your head, and it has this whole head cam, and then there's a microphone. It's intense.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen a lot of footage when it comes to stuff like that, but it's like you said, it's a gig, it's a grind, and
I love it.
Yeah,
I
so I was going to say, go ahead.
Yeah, let me not say it as though, like, you know, I mean, it's definitely nerve-wracking when, you know, a man is in tights. I mean, I'm not used to that, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it's great, and, you know, Robert Duvall said it best, an actor should always look at a role like, look what I get to play.
Yeah.
You know, look what role I get to play. And I try to always remind myself of that. This is fun, and, you know, it's a new experience, and you never know where you're going to use that later on. So I embrace everything like, all right, let's go.
It's a good attitude.
Yeah, that's great. That's right. And on that note, you definitely look like you're having a blast at what you're doing. I know we tried to connect a few times, and I think you were in caught up in pilot season.
Oh my God! Yeah,
And why don't you tell the listeners what pilot season is in Hollywood?
Pilot season. Okay, first of all, the spring of the year. It is the busiest time in Hollywood. It's when all the networks are coming up with all the new ideas for the fall lineup. So all these writers have been writing these new, what they call pilot scripts, in which they'll shoot, present to the network, and then they'll decide by basically in a month or so if they're going to air it this fall. Nowadays, pilot season has started a little earlier. It's actually, they've been saying pilot season doesn't really have a set date anymore. So, for example, I must have worked on like 3 or 4 pilots since the last time me and you interviewed, because a lot of those shows are now coming out, which typically would, historically speaking, would have been coming out in the fall and been shot in the spring.
Yeah.
So, it's a lot of memorization. I mean, and I'm confident. I have a new show I'm actually auditioning for right now, and it's constantly like maybe you'll have maybe one day off, and then all of a sudden by the end of that day, it's like, all right, you have 17 pages you need to have memorized by tomorrow. And then you have another audition after that, too. So, you know, just got to juggle both. Okay. All right, cool. Oh, and don't forget, you have an interview with Malcolm Riddle. and don't forget, you got to get in that gym because you're shooting next week and you can't be looking, you know what I'm
saying? It's just like one thing after another.
I like the part about you have an interview with Malcolm Riddle.
Of course.
I like that. My man. Yeah, no, it's it sounds like I said, it sounds like you're busy, but how do you remember, you know, how are you able to remember all those lines? Like, that's got to be a lot.
Wow. I mean, training. You know, really, the years I spent in conservatory taught me all the tools for that. The easiest way for me to summarize 2 years of training is this is a two-part answer. On one hand, you say the lines a million times.
Yeah.
You say something, it's a multiple times table. If you say 4 times 4 equals 16 a million times, it will go into your subconscious, and you'll always remember 4 times 4 equals, what does it equal? No. And then the other way is, a lot of times acting has nothing to do with lines. It's about reading between the lines, understanding what the character wants, because everybody wants something in a scene. What makes a good scene is when two characters want something where their like life depends on it. And you know, I mean, I guess I could take for example Divergent, where you know, Theo James's character Four comes up to me and he says, you know, what's going on here, right? And in the scene, I'm kind of like the leader of a pack of soldiers that are protecting our faction.
Yeah, you were surveying. Now, you were looking over a landscape, if I remember right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's specific, but not just any landscape. It's a landscape of factionless individuals.
Yes.
And faction individuals are like the outcasts of society, right?
Yeah.
So he's like technically my boss, and he expects me to have things under control. If I don't, it's my job. But in this world, with this script, it's my life.
Yeah.
Because if you're factionless, you're dead. You know, nothing. You're nothing.
You know, it's that clears up a lot, because in that scene in the movie Divergent, when you showed up in that scene, of course I recognized you, but the intensity that, like, you that part, like, you definitely embodied everything that you just said, as if your life depended on that scene.
Yeah, it's extremely important.
Yeah,
it's
and
just like, sorry, go ahead.
And as a fan of movies, as someone who watches, who studies, when I look, of course I was looking at you, my friend, but at the same time, I got to say, Will, and not to sound like a kiss ass, but you stood out. You were bigger than everyone in that scene. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You were bigger than when I looked at that, when I looked at the scene for what it was. I remember saying, this guy is the biggest thing in that scene. Just that quick scene. You also were kind of remind me of a Terminator. You know what I mean? That intense look on your face. I was like, this guy could play the next Terminator. But that's a respect for the craft that you're doing.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah. It's great. I mean, it was a great experience. And, you know, I love working on it. I mean, you know, even the book, I read the book, and the book just already hooked me. And, you know, this is all fiction. You know, me, myself, personally, I'm constantly reading a lot of nonfiction, biographies, etc. So when I got Divergent, I was excited because I hadn't read, like, just a good old-fashioned novel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And reading it and getting into, like, just preparing for the character, the role, etc., it made me realize how similar this piece of fiction was to real life, you know, with the military and whatnot, and just protecting the lay of the land, and having your sergeant or your commander over you, and also what does it look like to your peers if you're not doing your job properly? You know, there's a lot of stakes, even for such a small scene. You know.
Yeah. Did you through that experience? Did you get to do the whole premiere red carpet and all that good stuff?
They invited me to a couple of events. It was really exciting. You know, Summit Entertainment, you know, these guys at Lionsgate are amazing. You know, they sent me all this promotional stuff, T-shirts, hats, posters, all this stuff, man. Divergent's production crew, it was really like a family. And, I was actually working on something because there was some more press stuff going on in Chicago at the time, because that's where we shot the movie.
Yeah.
And I was in L.A., working on something. I have to make it as much as I can. And I'm actually now supposed to do some interviews for London, because, you know, we just opened in the UK this weekend, and it seems to be a hit out there. So some press people asked me what it was like working on it, you know, to get, you know, from the UK's point of view, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's big. And what are some of the TV shows you're
Oh, wow. So I'm really proud of this one TV show I did. It just aired. It's called Broad City.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, it's funny, man. It's basically like a sketch comedy show. But, you know, it's all scripted. And it's about these two girls living in New York City and the wackiness that ensues, pretty much. And I am on the episode titled Apartment Hunters, where one of the leads is set up with a roommate and is like, I'm moving out, I'm getting an apartment, and cut to, she comes to my apartment with me and my wife, and we decide if we want her to be a roommate. It's a pretty funny scene. You guys should check it out. Broad City airs on Comedy Central, and a lot of people who have like on demand, you can just pop it up on demand.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Nice. Good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty funny scene. And like I said, the title of the episode is Apartment Hunters. Okay. This Sunday, I will be on a new TV series called Those Who Kill. So Those Who Kill stars Chloe Sevigny from HBO's Big Love. And I play Donnie Knapp. I play a cop and almost like family to Chloe's character, Catherine. And this will be the first time this airs. This Sunday night, 10 p.m., Lifetime Movie Network. Not Lifetime Channel, Lifetime Movie Network. Apparently those are like two different things.
Yeah,
I just found that out. But, you know, set the DVR, 10 p.m., Those Who Kill, Lifetime.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what's up. I mean, I'm proud of you, brother. I mean, you're definitely doing the right thing out there in Hollywood and staying busy. I know last time when I was out there, I'd hoped to have been back out there back in March, but I'll be back in July again to do that wine event. Will and I, Miriam, did a wine event for the Concern Foundation for cancer research.
That's
and
right,
Will was very nice to lend a helping hand, and I think we had a blast.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So we're doing it again.
I love that wine, too. It's funny. I just thought about you the other day. I was in a liquor store and trying to get a bottle of wine, and I saw this big mangria section.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was right here in L.A. You know, there's like a whole section of the red and the white of Adam Carolla's wine.
That's right. Mangria representing, huh?
You got it.
And the beauty of it is you can take the white and the red and
blend them.
That's right. You can make the brosé.
Yeah. Make the brosé.
Do you remember?
Touché.
Do you remember you were mixing it up? You're like a mixologist mixing those drinks.
I was like a mixologist. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a good time. So yeah, I'll be back
that
then.
Was over at the Paramount lot, right?
Yeah, that was at Paramount. Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the Concern Foundation, they host a annual block party every year there. And Paramount is nice enough to lend the space and then bring in vendors and restaurants and wineries and stuff like that all from all over L.A. And in my case, from the East Coast. And I come out and Adam Carolla is nice enough to, hook a brother up with some vino and then we make it happen. So, yeah, I'll be back out there in July. And I'll be sure to look you up and maybe we can get together at some point.
Yeah, man. For sure.
So, yeah, man.
Well, I'm not going to keep you guys too long. I got to get to rehearsal, you know, the job never stops.
No, we appreciate you calling in. You're our eyes and ears in Hollywood. You are you are part of the American Riddle family. That's right. AKA That's right. AKA what is it? Jackson Ellis.
Jealous. Jackson Ellis.
All right, Will. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in.
You got it, Malcolm. Take care, Barry.
My man.
See ya.
All right, guys.
Bye bye. So that's my man, Will.
What a nice guy.
Holding it down. So yeah, he's a very focused individual. You know.
Sounds like a hard worker, good work ethic.
I mean, you've heard me talk him up plenty of times, and pretty much everything I've said. You know, just about his style and how he carries himself is spot on. And I think I know Hollywood embraces that. And I see a lot of good things happening with him and his future.
It's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be. Think about it.
He sounds excited.
Yeah.
I would be too.
I mean, TV shows, video games, movies.
Such a variety of stuff, too. So it's like he's learning a lot.
And constantly working.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's the way to do it, though.
It's hard to make it. I mean, in any field, you know what I mean? It takes a level of commitment and consistency. But, you know, when you go out to Hollywood, you know, it's like he said, sometimes you do things and you make a film, you work on a set, you might not get paid, you just might get fed, you know, but it leads somewhere. Yeah. And like I said earlier, I met him at the Washington West Film Festival, and I've told this story on the podcast before, how I met him. I was getting ready to do a kind of a Q&A, mm-hmm. you know, and I was nervous, and I was like, I remember I was pacing. And I saw him, and he was shining, you know what I mean? He's very charismatic. I think we had talked prior to, and I was like, I got to get this brother on the MIC. And because the crowd was quiet in the Q&A. You know, sometimes it's like, it's
awkward.
Tough to, yeah, because people don't know, especially when you're doing a Hollywood-esque themed festival on the East Coast. We're not as used to, you know, the Q&As and talk to the director or talk to the actors and stuff like that.
You got to break the ice, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I remember passing him the mic and he was just
comfortable.
On, yeah, he just flowing.
That's good.
So, and, you know, it's nice that he, you know, like I said, he was busy during pilot season. And so I didn't want to keep bothering him to be on a podcast or anything like that. Sometimes you just don't want to bother people. But he sent me an email saying, you know what? We got to, you know, get on the podcast.
Nice.
And, you know, I'm going to, we'll set the date. So it was nice that he actually reached out, you know, to you know, take time out of his schedule.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's exactly what he said. You know what I mean? He'll have it scheduled in, boom. And then he'll go to the gym and, you know, he'll... Go
very
and eat
disciplined.
Right. Yeah, very disciplined. Yeah. You got to work out. You got to look
tough.
Right.
Learn your lines last minute. I mean, just, I don't know. It's, I guess when you love it and you just are good at it and it's just what you want to do, you're passionate about it.
There you go.
I mean, it just works.
It's what you do.
Yeah, it's motivating.
It is motivating, Mariam Tazi.
Why do you say it like that? Is it Malcolm Riddle?
I mean, guys like that, people like that are inspirational, you know, when you see them and they're committed to something and, you know, you kind of feed off their energy when you have people like that in your life, especially God knows I need it because sometimes, you know, in life you can just get caught up, you know, in your own box, in your own bubble. And, you know, you lose focus. And that's when you kind of look at and you use the people around you to inspire and lift you up so you can, you know, keep moving and do stuff that you want to do. At least that's how I feel. I don't know. I could be wrong. Been wrong before. What's up, Mary? Why are you looking at me like that?
Because you're checking out your own arms right now.
I don't know. I'm looking at my biceps, people, you know?
Bizarre.
Yeah. You know, just flexing a little bit. That's why we got to put this on Ustream. You can see me fidgeting around.
Weird.
I'm a nut job. Yeah, I am weird. But, so that's that.
That
other than that, I had a not much more I wanted to cover, to be truthfully honest with you. There's not much.
That's all
more.
You got?
Not much. You know, I'm on E-minus today, people. Please forgive. But if you get a chance, go check out my boy Will's TV shows. Divergent is in theaters. What else have I seen? You saw what was the movie?
The Grand Budapest.
Yeah. You know, if you want to also check out another film, check out the Grand Budapest Hotel. I mean, what do you want me to say about this film?
Fun stuff.
I mean, it's
great.
It's an amazing, it's a tour de force. I mean, it's the creme de la creme of Wes Anderson's. I mean, it's his opus. Right now, and it's worth the price of admission. So if you guys get a chance, you know, run, don't walk to the theater, especially if you're a fan of Wes Anderson.
Yeah, like his style.
He does have a very unique style. So And we will probably do a recap review of a couple films and TV shows like I've been watching lately, Cosmos, and a few other things. Can't remember what they were. I think we just finished up on Justified. But I'll talk about those probably on some sort of review when I hear a dog barking in the background outside of the studio that's going to get on my nerves. So that's what's up, people. I'm going to close it out right motherfucking now. All right? Domino motherfucker.
Yes, I do, 'cause I think you're